Hello, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Sharad Kutan. Childcare centres, or TASCAs, across the country will now be allowed to resume operations, but they'll have to comply with strict guidelines to ensure hygiene and safe distancing practices are observed. And so concerns remain about safety measures to protect both children and minders. So tonight we're going to hear from early childhood care practitioners and providers about the realities in reopening these centres. Joining us on the show now, we have N. Sivanathan, committee member of the National Association of Early Childhood Care and Education Malaysia. And thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. I'd like to ask you what you've observed to have been the impact of the pandemic and the MCO so far on the childcare industry.
Well, the childcare industry is, based on my colleagues, and it's really experiencing a very hard time now, in the sense that, you know, they have to close like every other businesses. And also, but the cost of running it is still ongoing process, like the rental and, you know, salaries of staff. And also now there's a major concern, as in, like, you know, some parents are not so in game of paying the fees simply because their children are not going to the care centers. So that's a big concern, because it's like, how do childcare operators sustain? How do they sustain it unless, you know, perhaps if there could be a financial bailout for them in these instances? But otherwise, it's a task.
And can I ask you if most childcare centres have actually been asking for the payment even during this period? Has that been the general practice? And what is the situation in terms of a contract between the centres and the parents? Can parents volunteer to stop payment, or are they contractually bound to pay the care centres?
Okay, some centres have it written down, and some don't have it written down, because no one expected such a pandemic to actually take place. So we need to relook at our care centers' policies henceforth. And so, you know, yes, of course, it's a choice parents have, but it's not a choice for the center operators, because their rental has to go on, and they need to pay their staff because the staff has bills to pay. So, the moving forward would be if there can be a conversation between the parents and the childcare providers, perhaps to see how best they can actually work towards this, so that there will be a mutual agreement between both parties. Because I do understand that some families have lost jobs as well.
Right.
And so maintaining this the fees is a task. But then again, if they go back to work, and whether that child's place will still be secured in that childcare centre, now that's another question.
Do you have a sense of how many childcare centres have survived this MCO period, and how many have closed as a consequence? Do you have any kind of industry-level sense of the survival rate, as it were, of childcare centres?
Well, I don't know the exact numbers, but from the communication of different care providers, many centres towards the East Coast have closed down. The exact numbers, I don't know.
Okay. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit, Anne, about the design of the COVID-19 SOPs in allowing for childcare centres to reopen. Have these SOPs, can these SOPs be implemented well? Have they been has the design of it taken into consideration perhaps the realities of these childcare centre facilities, and also the resources, of teachers, of minders of these centres?
I looked at the SOP yesterday. It actually came out on the 1st of June, and it has been revised three times. And the latest one looks very, very impressive, and it's very, very thoughtful. Now, can it be implemented? Definitely it can, but it involves a lot of training for the staff to see how they're going to be doing this, And then also, communicating with the families. It is stated there that, you know, communication with the families is very, very important. So, yes, there's a lot of things that needs to be done. And then also, it talks a lot about social distancing with children.
Right.
Now, that may be a task because, as we all know, children learn best when they are socially active. So how are we going to be doing this is that it needs to be, you know, it needs to be thought about, rethinked, and perhaps, you know, a rehearsal needs to be done with the staff itself. As in, how are we going to be doing this? You know, it's like, how are children going to not to play in a playgroup?
Right.
So that's a very difficult situation. That's what I feel.
How do you even stop children from playing together, from hugging each other, from, you know, wanting to interact and touch? I don't know how we're going to teach young, very young children about social distancing skills, right?
And if I could just jump in here, not having any children myself, I just want to know, are you looking around the world for best practices? Are you, do you see a model that you think Malaysia could emulate?
Okay, the national association that I'm speaking on behalf of, NAFSEEN, we are connected worldwide, actually. So yes, we do exchange ideas from our colleagues from around the world. In fact, yesterday I was on this call about our children's rights in daycare centers and there are best practices that is happening, but it may not be applicable here, because of the cultural beliefs that, you know, we all have. So a lot of my friends' programs, they're all doing it outdoors, and it's definitely not going to happen here,
right?
Because our playgrounds are still closed for, you know, children to actually go and play.
Yeah.
So it all depends on the center. It all depends on the center operators and the teachers, and communicating with the families and to see how much do the children know about social, you know, distancing, because they cannot leave it to the, you know, to the staff at the centers. It has to start from home.
Right.
You need to orientate your kids about what is social distancing, and you would need to actually wear a mask. You can't touch your friends. You can't, you know, go and hug your teachers.
Yeah.
And so it has to be a partnership, because otherwise, it will just not work. And yes, it's going to be a very, very tough task. But I think children have gotten used to it to some extent, because
if
the grandparents or uncles or aunts do not live with them, I think they have been trained that you don't go and hug them. You don't go and, you know, shake hands with them.
And very quickly, can I also interject? I want to ask you about children, especially children with special needs. You're also the Assistant Secretary for the National Association of Autism Malaysia. What challenges are you most concerned about for children with special needs in having them adapt to all these changes that the new SOP requires?
It's going to be a task, but with the right training, it will be possible. Number one, you know, I would really think about, like, you know, social distancing is going to be a task for, you know, someone on the autism spectrum, because they enjoy their space, and to confine them within a space is going to be a task. And not only that, if you were to actually confine some of them within a space that, you know, that six feet requirement, because of that, they may experience meltdown, you know, temper tantrums, and how are we going to, calm them down if we don't have enough staff?
Right.
And, you know, sometimes they need a bigger space to actually, you know, take a nap and things like that. So is that 6 feet apart going to work or not?
Right.
So that may be something that the, you know, center operators need to actually think, you know, really hard as to how are we going to accommodate them back in our system.
Okay.
And also the, you know, mental health of the staff. You need to ensure that they are physically ready, emotionally ready to cope with a different situation altogether. It's just not about the kids. It's about the, you know, families as well. When they actually go to work, are they going to be comfortable to, you know, leave the kids there? What is the guarantee that no one is going to touch their child or their child is not going to touch anyone else. So these are all concerns, and these are all things that we should really think really, really hard. How are we going to handle this if a situation which is not to be practiced happens?
And very good insights. Thank you so much for sharing them with us tonight. We appreciate your time on this. Now we're going to take a quick break, but more on childcare centres resuming operations in just a few minutes. So stay tuned to consider this.